So we have a problem. Hi, this is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And it is Tuesday evening, and this is, of course, my favorite time of the week. And I did reruns for the last 2 weeks because I was out of the city. I went home to London, and London, oh my God, was fabulous. I haven't been home in 8 years. I mean, time is going really fast, and I didn't realize that it had been 8 years since I'd been home. Right. I mean, my people, I talk to them all the time. So it wasn't like I was missing anything. But as you all know, my sister died. And so we had to bury her and stuff. And I'm telling you what, I don't feel that death is a final frontier for me. But I will tell you, my sister's funeral was phenomenal. It was that of a goddess. I got to learn things about my sister that I did not know. I got to see how fantastic she was, which was, in some cases, sometimes she was just kind of miserable to me. Mm-hmm. But like, there was standing room only at her funeral. People were like coming. The funeral started. We got to the house. It was really great because it was traditional, right? We got to the house. The funeral guys came. They had full attire, which is a hat. They have the top hats, the mourning suits, which are tails. They come, they take all the flowers, they organize the flowers, they put it in this glass hearse, and they situate us. And they have a director who has a cane that walks the coffin out to sort of the end of the street and around the corner, and everybody grinds to a halt, a slow pause on the other traffic. And then we go to the church, and the pallbearers, which were my brothers and my nephews, took my sister into the church, settled her down, put all the flowers around. The pallbearers put the funeral people put the flowers around and stuff. There was a 3 hour, probably even a little bit more, service that consisted of tributes, people singing, and just like a small service because there were so many tributes. The actual service was smaller. Then we went to the funeral where we buried her. That place is so crowded. I don't want to be buried. I want to give my body to science. And no, seriously, I'm going to give my body to science. And then we had, what else did we, then we went to the banquet hall because it was like a banquet afterwards. The repast was like a banquet. Food, drinks, music, dancing, more tribute. It was phenomenal. Did not leave there until 10, after 10 at night, right? It was just such a wonderful experience. My sister, like the stories I heard about my sister, which I didn't know, were absolutely amazing. My sister took a complete stranger into her home. He knocked on her door. He came in from Africa and said he had nowhere to live. He had a conversation with her because he was a refugee, right? And my sister had him live at her house with her husband and her from between 6 months and a year. Right. She was my sister was the true a consummate Christian. And I called my sister a gangster for God. She was certainly a gangster for God. So I want to shout out to people in London who listen to the show. Like I want to shout out to my Marissa's boyfriend who listens to the show, and he gets up at 2 o'clock in the at night and listens. Or if he doesn't get up, he actually listens to the replay. And I want to thank Sandra for listening to the show. Who else? Errol and a bunch of other people that say, Noreen, we listen to your show. And I was just like blown away that people would take time out of their sleep or download the show and listen to it. So I just want to say big up to my people in London. Thank you so much for like really remembering me and reminding me of who I am and where I come from and what makes me me, which is you. So it was just wonderful. Thank you. I mean, death is a part of life. It's not a happy occasion. But I tell you what, I came back from my sister's funeral happier than when I went. So I want to thank you for that. So, without further ado, we have an amazing show tonight. Unfortunately, we don't have video right now, but we have an amazing show tonight. We have Mr. Mike Reyes. Did I say that right?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Mike, put your mouth on the mic. Oh,
thanks. Thank
That's
you for having me.
That's your favorite friend right now. And Mr. Mike Reyes, he is our consummate loud, proud, black, African American. And do you call yourself African American?
Well, you can call me whatever you'd like. African
American. Can I call you Big Head?
Dominican American fine. You can call me Big Head. In Asia, they used to call me Chocolate.
And they did? Yeah, they just called you Chocolate?
Yeah, definitely. So then they relate to you, you know?
I often relate to myself as Chocolate. I always relate to myself as Chocolate, like, I'm Chocolate. Everybody wants a piece.
Yeah. Right.
And
we're
so
both attractive. It runs in the family.
Right. So I want to welcome you to the show and thank you for coming and asking me to come. So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Sorry about your sister. Your sister's passing.
It's okay. It's good. It's all good. It's part of life. Yes. And of course, we all know my friend Ella.
Hi. Hi,
Ella's
everybody.
Back. She is my co-chair tonight because politics and conversation around politics is not really my jam. And I thought Ella would be one of the people that can, mash it up in politics, right?
I'll try.
So I'm being outnumbered by two liberals in New York City. This is great.
I don't really consider myself a liberal because I...
You're a communist. You're from England, right? Europeans are socialists.
I am not. I don't consider myself anything, right?
That's
and
fine.
What I do is I think that I like to think of myself as a person that will do the right thing, whether that is if we have to have more taxes and it's going to make do well for the country and for people and provide more services like schools, hospitals, roads and stuff like that. I'm all for it.
I mean, we can all agree to that, right?
Yeah, I'm all for it. But I don't think that we should have lower taxes and no services.
Well, I agree with you on that as well.
Okay,
that's
great.
The whole point. And the reason, one of the things, well, the position I'm taking is that in New York City, we're paying a lot in tax, but we're not necessarily getting better services.
Your favorite
for it
friend,
either.
You can pull it forward.
Oh, thank you.
So I want to get to know who are you, what makes. I wish I had the camera right now, but we don't, so people can't see. Who are you? What makes you who you are? And how did you become a Republican?
Well, like I said,
and what makes a Republican? Basically,
what makes a Republican? That's a very broad question because everybody's walk of life is a bit different. But
right.
My story is, I'll make it really short. I was born in New York City in 1987. I moved with my family, my mom and my brother, to Rhode Island when I was around 5 or 6 years old, raised there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I graduated college at 21, moved to Asia for about 10 years, came back, and I met you last year, and I'm here talking to you right now.
Yep, we met last year at my BNI.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, and he came back and you can't see him right now. He was this little thin thing. I'm like, oh, he's probably eating one grain of rice a week. No, I'm kidding.
But wait, did you...
Damn.
Did you find out he was a Republican at that BNI?
No, he did tell me. He says to me, I don't know what it is, but that week, it was very strange because that week, you were not the first Republican black person that I met. I actually met a Republican who... He had to tell me he wanted to get a rise out of me or something, but he was lost. He was here from Florida, and he was down by 47th and 50th, and he needed to go to Trump. He wanted to go to Trump Plaza, right?
A pilgrimage.
So I said to him, I'm walking in a direction, follow me. So, I'm doing my New York stride, and they're like just kind of, so I'm keeping it going. And finally, they catch up to me, and he just felt like he needed to tell me that he was a Republican. So he goes to me, I'm a Republican. I said, more power to you, baby.
I'm curious. Was he from New York City or was
he
from out of state?
No, he was from Florida.
Sorry. I just said that from Florida.
Yeah,
okay, that makes
Florida.
Sense. Well, in Florida, politics are regional, right? So if somebody from Florida is naturally going to be Republican, right?
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just people in the South tend to be more Republican, right? In the Northeast, more Democrat. And that's why I'm an anomaly. What does that mean?
No, I was having a problem here with the system. But so go ahead. So Florida is more Republican, you were saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Pretty more,
but
it's a purple state, you'd say. It's a swing state.
Oh, okay.
But depending on where he's from in Florida, it's gonna probably be more likely he's a Republican than a Democrat, right?
But he was a black Republican.
Yeah, he was.
Right.
I'm sorry, Ella, black Republican.
No, but I feel like he was a black Republican. I think that black people in Florida are probably a higher percentage Democrat. Because at least I know in Miami, like a lot of West
Indians. In Miami,
Indians,
it's an inner
right?
city, but when you leave the major city, it's going to be, they're going to tend to be, in the more rural areas, they're more likely to be Republican.
Is that true?
But I'm just generally speaking, if you look at the map of the United States, when you're in, where are the liberal strongholds? New York City, some parts of the upstate New York, California, San Francisco. When you go to the Midwest, people tend to be more conservative, more Republican.
Right.
I'm just curious, why do you hear Republicans so much anyway, Ella?
I don't hate Republicans, but I don't.
No, he's trying to cause a problem.
No, I'm just curious. Why?
I don't get frazzled very easily.
Well, do you hate Republicans or you just hate me?
Or I think we just hate you.
I can live with that. Not the only one.
No, I don't hate you. You're not really hate worthy.
Well, oh my God, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference.
Do you want me to hate you?
Well, if you can't love me, I'll take the second best thing. Well, anyway, let's get to the point. So I'm just curious as to, okay, a lot of black people in America don't necessarily like Trump. Why don't you like Trump personally?
Personally, I don't like Trump because I think he's a pathological narcissist, and I think he's a very empty, soulless person. I just think he's a horrible person.
You just described a successful businessman in New York City.
Every successful businessman
I think so.
I've been married to successful businessmen. I've dated them. I've had them as friends, and I think he's unlike most people I've dated.
Maybe they were just putting an act, right? Maybe they were narcissists as well, and they had an act to get you.
No, I've had many dealings with pathological narcissists. There's a difference between
am I a pathological narcissist? I'm just curious.
Well, I don't know you that well, so I'd like to get to know you.
If you don't mind, you know.
Yeah, but someone.
Okay,
you know,
keep it.
Okay,
this is my sense of spinning. Spinning instead of staying with the conversation.
By the way, when I say a pathological narcissist, I'm not talking in a general term. I'm talking about the type of narcissism that's on the DSM.
Well, I don't really mind if he's a narcissist because, again, I know I've dealt in private equity. I know these guys can be pretty
more
bad.
So, why do you like him?
Why do I like him? Because I think that his policies make sense. He's had the lowest unemployment rate for blacks unless he knows ever recorded in this country's history.
Okay.
And he has a track record of even back to the 70s and 80s doing many, you know, good things for our community before he became a Republican when he was still a Democrat and people still liked him. I actually shared a post.
Was there a time when everybody was loving Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think in the 70s and 80s. I mean, I actually have some I know that you guys aren't into this, but I took some notes. I wanted to just share with you that. Did you know that in the 1980s, he took a picture with Muhammad Ali and many black leaders of the time, and he was accepting a reward. He was receiving Ellis Award.
Who wouldn't take a picture with Muhammad Ali?
No, I'm saying, but he was receiving an award from the black community. The Ellis, what is it called?
Did we need something? Did we need money or something like that?
No, I mean,
wait a second. So he took a picture and he got an award from the black community. And so this means what?
It means he's done a lot. For example, you know that private clubs, like, you know, prior to the 90s, prior to the 80s, they don't allow black people and Jewish people in, right?
Right.
Donald Trump bought the club in Mar-a-Lago?
In Palm Beach.
Palm Beach, right? The reason he bought that club is because they want to let some of his friends in that were black and Jewish, and he thought that he should do something to change that. So he bought the club and he basically permitted his black friends and Jewish friends to go in, you know.
And how many of those friends were there?
There were a lot. I mean, again,
what's a lot?
Yeah,
well, I mean, I don't have a picture of him in the 80s. They have social media.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, I looked it up today. It actually is true. And actually, something else that's true. I want to just bring this up.
It could be fake news.
Okay, it could be fake. It could be spun the other way around.
I know that a lot of those clubs would not let Donald Trump in Palm Beach because Donald Trump was not old money, and Palm Beach is a very old money place. So I know that he wasn't, like, for instance, I know he tried to get approval for a co-op board in New York City, and he wasn't allowed in. So I'm not so sure that was the only reason.
The point is the facts are facts, and that's the reason that stated on liberal movies.
But is
that
it a fact?
Before he became a Republican.
Is it a fact?
Yes, it is a fact.
Saying?
You can look it up on CNN and all the other news sites. Okay. And also something else.
Yeah, but it might be, as Donald Trump says, fake news.
Yeah, but I want to that's a good one. I like that. But I want to bring something else as well. AOC talked about Charlottesville. Remember that? The quote that he wore. Mm-hmm. What did he say specifically?
So wait a second. Stop right there. No, so what you're saying is that you're proving to me right now that in the 70s and 80s, Donald Trump was generally liked by black people. This is a fact.
I'm not saying either way. I mean, I'm just
he started
the trend in the private clubs of letting.
Wait, stop.
Go ahead.
You actually did say it came out of your mouth was generally liked.
There are a lot of pictures. Actually, this is fact. There's a lot of pictures of him with, like, you know, famous.
Okay, we have to take a break. Okay. So when we come back, we're going to refocus people. Okay, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, and I have Ella Butler, my co-anchor, and we have Mr. Mike Reyes.
Wait, we have to, yeah.
What? Huh? What's wrong?
No, go ahead.
Mr. Mike Reyes.
This is Mike Reyes?
Mike Reyes.
Señor Reyes. Okay.
So Mike Reyes is, okay, we're going to get into his background, how he became this Republican and how he became loud and proud about being a member of the Republican Party and his love for Donald Trump and Mr. Pence.
Okay. And
go ahead.
Traditionally, the vice president's role is not that, not to advise the president. Yes, it's a bit different now. And he has some influence, but Donald Trump and Mike Pence, are very, 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 very politically different.
Okay.
Donald Trump is obviously more to the middle, more moderate, and Pence is obviously very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, the reason I like Donald Trump again is because what he's done for the Black and Hispanic communities, he's given us jobs, and also his stance on the border. Many Hispanics, especially in a place that I live, right in Queens, part of AOC's district, Ocasio-Cortez's district, has had an influx of a lot of gang violence. A lot of MS-13, Trinitarios, a lot of those gangs came in through the border illegally.
Mm-hmm.
And I started for an organization that's called Latinos for ICE. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to many Latinos, and a lot of them agree with me that something has to be done about this. And ICE agents, if we work with ICE agents, we can get these people out of our neighborhoods. Because at the end of the day, it's all about community safety.
Right.
Like if you guys are both family people, right? If you had kids, God forbid that you lived in Queens, right? And there was like a shooting or something happening.
Mm-hmm.
How would you guys deal with it, right? If your kids were caught in the crossfire, that's something we have to address. So I think
that's an obvious question. Well, how we feel, I wouldn't be dancing in the streets.
Yeah, but I mean, people like AOC de Blasio, the mayor of the city, haven't said anything, right? They want to turn it into sanctuary city to the point that they want to strip the police and ICE of all their power. I think that's also not the way to go. I understand. I'm Dominican American as well. I have family that's illegal. I understand. I'm not saying kick everybody out. That's
have you thought about turning them in?
Are you serious, Ella?
I just want to know.
Of course not. They're my family. I'm just saying that.
I know, but they're draining.
And this is a fact.
They're draining the system.
I don't know so much.
That's illegal.
That's good for you. That's good for you. You know what? Something funny.
They all came on a plane.
Barack Obama had a stronger position on illegal immigration than Trump.
Right.
This is a fact.
Right.
If you want to look it up.
Okay. But according to a lot of Republicans,
he deported. Right. His own aunt from Massachusetts to make a point.
She was probably a cow.
Yeah.
She was probably a cow. Oh my God.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe. Is that a bad thing?
That she's a cow?
No, that he imported.
Imported.
Oh,
good. You got to agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I personally don't think that's a good thing.
Right.
Deporting your own family member, especially if they're doing anything, besides crossing the border, they're not doing anything else that's illegal.
Right.
If they're just here working, right, and trying to support their families, I don't think that anybody should be kicked out of this country. That's my personal stance.
That's not very Republican of you.
I'm a New York Republican, Noreen. I'm not a Caucasian guy from, the Midwest or Texas somewhere. I'm very moderate. Mm-hmm. New York Republicans are moderate people. We're not these far-wing KKK members that you guys think that we all are here.
Uh-huh.
Right. But, okay. So that's something where you differ with the president a little bit.
No, I agree with him. I agree with both presidents, Obama and Trump. They both have a similar stance. Trump's stance is actually a bit more lax than Obama's stance. And I think it has to do with the fact that he's from New York City. He's also a very moderate Republican. He went more to the right, yes, because he had to win the national you know, party vote in the primaries. But he's a really moderate Republican. Before that, he was always a moderate Democrat.
So let me ask you a question. How did you become a Republican?
I was born a Republican, Noreen. I just, one day I just realized, no, I'm dead serious. Like, well, I'm kind of joking. Yes, I'm like being eccentric. But the point is that Dominican Americans, our generation, a lot of us are first, second generation, we're naturally Democrat. Most immigrant families are naturally Democrat. But the reason I became a Republican was first for a job. And second, because afterwards I found out that I agree with a lot of their stances. I'm anti-abortion, even though...
You are anti-abortion.
Even though I agree with somebody having the choice to, you know, to abort their baby or not.
Right.
That's their choice. First term, second term, I can live with that. I'm pro-gay marriage. That's very Republican now. The Republican Party has moved to the middle, and Donald Trump has said that he's the first candidate in the primary stage of either party to actually announce that he is pro-gay marriage, pro-gay rights.
Okay.
And I
is
mean,
is he going to come out? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, next, you're going to ask me if Mike Pence is going to come out, right?
You think Mike is gay?
Do you think Mike is gay?
I don't even really know that much about this man.
Would it matter?
I think I've no, it wouldn't matter at all. But I think I've seen this man on TV maybe three times.
Yeah, he's a very nice, handsome, you know, clean cut guy.
I mean, I know what he looks like.
Do you like him?
Do I like him? Do you am I like gay? Him? You asked me, I'm gay?
Yeah.
Should it matter?
I said, do you like him?
I mean, I think he's a great guy. I like people that are so serious. You know Mike Huckabee? I'm not a very Christian person, but you guys know Mike Huckabee, right?
Yeah.
I like Mike Huckabee, and I supported him. Even when I was a Democrat, I supported him because I liked that he was sincere.
So, you're going to confuse the listeners, right?
Because I'm not confusing them.
That you said, I used to be a Democrat, but they're going to want to know, how did you go from... Because you were a liberal?
I wasn't a liberal.
What were you?
Let me specify. Okay, I graduated college in 2009. Right. I worked for Ron Paul.
Right.
I was independent until 2014.
Okay.
When I was in a 10-month hiatus when I was living in China in the 20s. I told you this before the show.
Okay.
I became a Democrat for a job.
Okay.
Then I left. I went back to China. I came back when Trump won, and I became a Trump Republican, which is different than a Reagan Republican.
Pray tell us.
Why did you... Wait, so you became a Democrat for a job?
Yes. I worked on a campaign.
So you're like Judas.
I'm not Judas. I just told you that I was always a Republican. I became a Republican because I wanted to...
But that's like Judas, though, because Judas... I'm not religious, right? And it's stories, but...
I'm not religious at all.
Judas turned on Jesus for 3 pieces of gold?
Yeah, wait a second.
The Republicans never offered me gold.
But they offered you a job. There was some coins in there.
I was kidding. No, I became a Republican.
I became
a Democrat for a job. I became a Republican.
Right.
Because I like Trump.
Pray explain. How do you give up certain values and then take on other
values?
What
do you mean give up certain values? I've always had the same values. I've always had the same stance on abortion. I've always had the same stance on gay marriage. I've always had the same stance on taxation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how I'm not giving up any values. All I did was change parties. This is a fact. Donald Trump brought a lot of the people from the Democratic Party over to the Republican Party, and a lot of the moderates also went.
Okay, so what you're saying is that when you became a Democrat for the job, you still espoused the same values. You didn't start talking. Right.
And
but when you became a Democrat, it's not like when you started working for this Democratic campaign, you started to speak like a Democrat or talk about, change your views. Your views remain the same.
They've always remained the same.
Okay. So you didn't lie. You were just like, I'm just changing the thing on my card. That's it. Right.
Yeah, if you want to look at it that way, sure.
Well, is
I don't
is
have
that,
a card.
Wait,
I don't have a card.
No, but is that the truth or not?
What way is it then?
Because that's mean,
the way. What way is it? Like, you changed it for a job.
I changed it for a job. I was an independent. I worked on the Ron Paul campaign.
I know, but wait a second.
So I'm kind of libertarian. Go ahead.
This is all semantics. So you changed your association from Republican to Democrat, but you didn't.
No. I was independent, then Democrat, then Republican.
You became a Democrat for a job.
Yes.
But you did not change your views. Your views remained the same. It was simply for the voting card, what it said on the card.
No, to get
That's
the
it.
Job. That was basically it. That's the only reason why.
Right.
Not for a card. I didn't get a card.
Okay. So now, what had you go from liberal to Democrat?
I've always been a moderate conservative. What made me go from, what do you mean, libertarian?
Mm-hmm.
Like independent to Democrat?
Mm-hmm.
The job. I said that. I was offered a job by a Democratic campaign.
No, I got that part, but like, what had you be an independent in the beginning?
Oh, because I didn't want to be associated with any party.
Okay.
That's just, you know, millennials at that time, that's what we were thinking, at least my friends, and all of them were independent.
Mm-hmm.
The funny part about this, you guys don't know the funniest part about this? I came back a Trump Republican to the States in 2016.
Now,
I won't tell you this.
You have to tell people where you went. So you
I
were
was in
China,
China. Yes.
Living in China. And then you came, what had you go to China?
Well, that's a long story.
What were you
giving
up? Just give us the short version.
I fell in love, and no, I'm kidding. Okay, so I left I graduated college in 2009. The height of the recession was in 2007, right. As I recall. So there were no jobs. I was going to join the military. That was my original plan. Even before the height of the recession, yeah, I wanted to be a naval officer. I went to Albany. I took the naval officer exam. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a regional office for New England as well, where I was raised. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't, they weren't accepting, they had a really strict quota system at the time. I did pass the exam. I was in shape. I met all the requirements. I was multilingual at the time. Couldn't get in. So my university, my alma mater, University of Rhode Island, had a scholarship program with one of the top universities in China. It's called Zhejiang University. It's the third best university in China. Zhejiang University.
Zhejiang.
It's the middle province.
Zhejiang. Okay.
Oh, good. Even the he knows how to say it. So I went there on a full scholarship, I think paid for. And I mean, that's actually a good reason. I think that's good that you made me talk about this, because that's another reason why I became, I guess you could say, why I really realized I was a conservative, because that's what socialism does. Mm-hmm. Socialized medicine there sucks, by the way.
And Social medicine sucks.
Over there. And also, I got to work with a lot of, like, government officials.
Okay.
Vice mayors, teaching them mostly government English, you know, when they traveled. Hospitals as well. And they didn't like communism either. So I've always had these views, but when I got to China, you know, they started to actually form, I guess, because I was still young. I was still in my early mid-20s, right?
Mm-hmm. You're still very young.
I'm still very young? Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Okay, so the point is that, like, I've always had these views. I've always been a moderate conservative. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know it until I came back from China that I was.
Okay. So now you're back in the United States.
Yes.
How does world present itself to you?
The world?
Yes.
Well, one of my earliest memories of petitioning for a Republican is I was outside of a church. I was getting the signatures, and one old Caucasian guy, he was like 5'6". I'm 5'11", to give you perspective. Mm-hmm. He went up to me, pointed in my face, and was like, "Republicans think you're a nigger." I was like, damn. I was like, welcome to the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. No, but ever since then, it's been pretty all right. I mean, I can't have no complaints. I've worked for both parties. I think the Republican Party is very different. And I honestly believe the Democratic Party always brings up race. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Republican Party doesn't give a shit. They only care about money. Just to be honest, my opinion.
Okay. So it sounds like that's a perfect party for you, because
it is.
You left being a Democrat for
I left the welfare party to join the millionaires at the country club. No, it's true. Right?
To me, it's like an act of Judas.
No, okay,
right?
But
like,
okay, so.
No, just think about it. Right?
Okay, that's fine. But before we go on break, I want to talk about Ella for a second. I want to ask a question. So I'm sure you know about Charlottesville, right?
Yes.
Okay, so AOC, what she said, you know, the quote that was taken out of context. I want to read the actual whole quote to you. So this is the quote. Quote, "There were some very fine people on both sides, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally," end quote. That was the actual quote. This is actual news, video coverage. A lot of people don't know that. My question is, why do you guys just like think that everything that the media says about Trump is actually, you guys take it at face value?
Well, I mean, first of all, I watched that. Right. So whatever you say to me, by the way, like I have to go back and research it myself. And
of course, and that's, see, I agree with you.
Just because
you
say it doesn't mean
I agree with
but
you.
But I remember watching that. And I remember when he gave that press conference. Going, what did that guy just say? So I don't remember.
And then when we were saying that, what did that guy just say? He said that. And you can look it up in the transcript. You can look the video.
I remember seeing it in first of all, when someone says something, you have to look at it contextually.
Of course.
You have to look at what was asked. So I mean, I'm definitely not an idiot. And I remember coming away with it thinking that whatever he said was not cool.
And the news takes it out of context.
No,
yes.
I remember listening.
Okay, that's fine.
Right?
I
so
agree with
that's
you.
The thing.
But this is what he actually said.
Right.
I'm saying you can go back and look at it.
Yeah. So we should actually watch
Go ahead. We can't watch it now, but we can watch. We'll come back on the show next week.
And let me just explain this to you.
You're not coming back to my show next week.
Well, we're going to have a part two. Ding, 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 ding.
In my world.
Is this your privilege?
Are you calling me white?
Yeah. In my world where I live.
Okay, we need to cut.
Okay.
Break, and we'll be right back.
Okay, we have to see your phone.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Ella, hey.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, am I ready?
And we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. Tonight, I have Ella Butler as my co-host, and we also have Mike Reyes, who is a Dominican-American and also a consummate, powerful, stand-by-his-word Republican. Go ahead. Take it away,
Thank
guys.
You. Noreen, that was such a... Reyes is my name, by the way. It means royalty Republican. In Spanish. Royalty, not Republican. So, Ella, to continue our talk. So, I think that a main reason why a lot of black people are Democrats nowadays is because they feel that they should be protected by their Democratic Party from the evil racist Republicans. Because, I don't know where that came from.
Okay.
But the thing is that I honestly don't think that racism is a big deal in today's society.
That's interesting.
I want to give you a story about my...
Since
Noreen wants me to keep talking about my youth. This is just an isolated incident, right? This is one example. But my brother and I, we went to the same high school.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had a classmate. I'll call him Paul. That's not a real name, but I'll call him Paul. So he was a Caucasian man. We played football together. He seemed to never really like me. I could never tell why.
Okay.
I thought he was a racist because I had one of my best friends.
Wait a second.
Also,
is this story about Paul going to explain why racism is not a problem in America?
Can I finish the story? Okay, so Paul, he never liked my other friend who was also black. He was biracial, but he was similar personalities to me.
Right.
So when I came back from China a couple years ago, my brother, I found out, is friends with Paul. I see he's talking about Paul this, Paul that. I'm like, I thought the guy was a racist the whole time. He's like, Mike, you got to understand, he's not a racist. He's one of the best guys I've ever met in my life. He just didn't like you or him. You or your friend.
And that's the only way that he could survive you is by saying, I'm a racist.
No. He didn't say he was a racist. He just, you can just feel that. And then I started to realize in my life, and started looking at YouTube videos and a lot of black conservatives, that sometimes just people don't like you specifically. You don't have to say it's always because of racism, right? I mean, that's my personal opinion.
Well, yeah, that can be true. And the other can also be true at the same time. Just because that is true does not mean that racism does not.
No. I didn't say racism. I think racism is not a problem in our society. I don't think we need the Democratic Party to protect us. I think the main problem with our society, like Larry Elder said, you guys know Larry Elder, right?
Right.
Is fatherlessness in America, which was started by the Democrats in the 60s, civil rights movement, and with the welfare movement. When they started the welfare movement, what they would do is they would go to black families' homes. And they would actually ask if the black man was there. If the black man wasn't there. Wait, let me finish. I'll let you finish. You know that. You're very beautiful, by the way. I'm sorry if I offend you.
Very much.
But I'm just telling
See,
you.
That, that, facts, like a,
facts, me facts, too. Facts, me too.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, me too.
That's democratic, privilege right there. Okay, so they would go to the households and they would ask people.
Okay.
Stating facts. They would ask people, is the husband
I'm
home?
I'm waiting for you to call a little lady.
And if the husband wasn't there, they were more likely to get welfare checks than if not. Before the welfare movement, more black families were intact than white families. And this is a fact. Families that have come from a two-parent household, father and mother, are more like, the kids are more like, the children are more likely to, succeed in school, university, get better jobs.
Mm-hmm.
This is fact. This is social science.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see how you can just prove that the Democrats are using this, basically. This was whole a conspiracy, you could say, from Lyndon B. Johnson, who said, and I quote...
But you haven't... Can I tell you
Lyndon B.
something?
Johnson, after the civil rights movement, this is a quote from Lyndon B. Johnson, I'll have those niggers voting Democratic for the next 200 years, unquote.
Okay, so what does that sentence prove to me?
What does that have to do with healthcare? Can I tell you something? Go ahead.
What it sounds like you do is you come up with these fragmented sentences and like talking points, and you present them as something fact. That I don't know what it is. Like, it's not a cohesive argument.
That's because you're Democrat. Republicans think more logically.
No, it's actually not
logical. I'm kidding.
Like, you're not presenting a cohesive argument.
So what? So ask me questions.
This is what you're saying. Wait a second. This is what it sounds like to me. You're like, Lyndon Johnson said this, and then in 1980 this happened, and racism doesn't exist in America. That's not.
I didn't say that. I said that racism is not a problem in America. I didn't say it didn't exist.
Your arguments are not cohesive. We started this conversation talking about Paul.
Okay, we started this conversation about why I'm a Republican. I'm a Republican.
Yeah, but wait a second.
Go ahead. Sorry.
We started the conversation talking about Paul.
Yeah,
then you skipped around.
Yeah, we didn't finish the conversation. We just know that Paul didn't like you, and he was really desperate to
not
like you.
Yeah, and I said, that's great.
So he made himself into a big fat racist so that he didn't have to communicate with you.
I didn't say that either. I just said he didn't like me.
Well, that's what I got from the conversation. But he really loved your brother.
Afterwards, after high school and stuff, it wasn't like
he was probably hanging out with your brother and playing with your brother on the stoop. But
no, I don't. I'm pretty sure we went to the same high school, but it wasn't like that. It wasn't what do you call it, bromance? It wasn't like that during high school. I know for a fact. Okay. All I'm saying is that the reason why I'm a Republican, I'm telling you guys the reason I'm a Republican, I don't feel that any protection. A lot of black conservatives also, for these same reasons, that done their research and come up with these facts. It's not just me. You can look it up. Candace Owens, Larry Elder, you know, Thomas Sewell.
Right.
They came up with the same arguments.
You don't have to say who came up with it.
No, because then you're
going to
ask me,
oh,
you're just coming up with facts that you don't have to look them up.
I want you to tell me what you think.
This is my view. These are personal views. I was raised in a liberal state, liberal teachers. Even when I was in college studying political science, everything I learned was liberalism. When I started doing my own research and looking up these conservatives, I came up with my own view that, hey, I agree with these guys more, you know? And yeah, there's like, and obviously abortion, that's just because I'm Dominican American, right? That's just because I'm Hispanic, right?
And why is that? Tell us more.
It's very Catholic. Dominican Americans are very Catholic. So we're generally speaking.
But you are not religious.
I'm not agnostic. Well, that's good. I don't think I ever told you that. How'd you know that?
Because you said that.
I said I'm not religious. I didn't say I'm really.
You said that
agnostic.
You're not very Christian. Which
not very Christian.
Catholic.
Christ.
Right. And I said I'm not religious, and you said neither am I.
Well, I'm not. Yeah, I made the inference. Sorry about that. Yeah, so I'm not really religious, but I am, you know, anti-abortion.
So you're not religious, but Dominicans are religious.
I'm specifically very spiritual, by the way. I just don't like religion.
Abortion.
I don't like going to church every Sunday. I'm just saying that. Personally, I'm spiritual. I just don't agree with religion.
Okay.
In the sense that,
you know. So tell us about this abortion thing, why you don't agree with it.
I just don't. I mean, my whole family disagrees with it, and that's how I was raised. When you were raised in a certain community, right?
But now you have your own opinions.
I know. My own opinion is that I don't like abortion.
And so what is it that you don't like about it?
I just don't specifically. I don't like it. I don't like killing babies. They've done studies. A study came out yesterday. I saw it somewhere. I don't know a specific, you know, website, but the study came out yesterday that babies feel pain when they're going through abortion. And I even said that I don't mind people having the choice of having first, second, third term abortion, right?
Right.
I don't mind it. I just personally don't like it. If you want to kill,
so you wouldn't cut it out and say we can't.
If I was the mayor of New York City, I wouldn't ban abortion. Put it that way.
Okay.
But I wouldn't agree with Cuomo's policy of, like, you know, third term abortion.
Third trimester.
Trimester, whatever. I'm sorry. Because yeah, babies, because
well,
my brother.
Third trimester, it's a baby there, right?
The heart beats at 6 weeks. Yeah. So my little brother would say.
My little brother told me he's a nurse. Works at a hospital. He told me that the last 3 months, the trimester, I guess, is just basically growth. Yeah, so this new policy of under Cuomo's, I don't like it. I can't agree with it.
Well, you know, it's not like the baby goes to waste. They're using them for
They're using it for what?
You know, like eyes and body parts and stem cells.
Farming?
And stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's going to go to waste, right?
You make it seem so, I don't know, cold.
No, it's not cold. It's a reality. I believe that my body is my body. I get to do what the fuck I want to do my body.
I agree with it.
And
if I
want to have an abortion, I'm going to have an abortion, right? And I've had two abortions.
Hey.
And I'm glad I did it.
And you're still my friend.
I had
you
the
see,
right to
I'm
do
a Republican
it.
And you're still my friend.
Who says I'm your friend?
damn, Noreen. Well. Well, if you guys want well, I don't right. know where you got from that, but the point is that... I'll hug you after this. Don't worry.
Oh God, a Republican hug. It's going to leave residue. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
The point I was trying to make with the
race
the what do you call them? The talking points.
Yeah.
is that the reason why a lot of black people nowadays are the Democrat is because they believe that the Democrats protect them from the evil racist Republicans and like the, I don't know, the Caucasian white evil man or whatever.
Okay.
And I know a lot of friends that are black, that are liberals. I'm friends with everybody. I just want to make that clear. Democrats.
Right. You're friends with everybody.
But my closest friends are moderates. My close friends, but I have a lot of liberal friends that are black and Chinese that hate white people for no reason. My best friends are white.
You know that sounds really
this is so bizarre.
How is that bizarre?
I swear to God.
I have friends. I mean, I'm not going to disown
them. I don't know, but this like that just that statement is so bizarre. My best friends are white.
And dissect it.
It's a weird statement.
I mean, it's just a weird
statement. It's like a racist saying.
It's like when people say, like, well, you know, because my best friends are black. I'm like, oh, God.
No,
I'm
not racist. Okay, I agree with you.
My neighbor's literally so dumb.
No, but I have friends that are black and Asian that have told me that they can't stand white people.
Just because your best friends are white doesn't mean you think this or that. No. Like, you know, like,
I understand that. Yeah, you do. But I'm just saying that, you know, there are a lot of people that can't, whatever reason, associate with people of a different race because they don't like them. That exists. And, you know, and it's unfortunate. I agree with you guys. I don't see color, especially after living in Asia, where I was, you know, minority.
You don't see color.
No, I date anybody. I've dated girls that are Asian, black, white, anything.
But that's like so bizarre.
Why? Yeah. Because I'm a slut?
No, because the whole, I think the way the world should be going is, of course, you're going to see color.
Yes, I agree.
But
well,
it doesn't mean that it should inform
the
value
see it, but
you
I don't
put
care.
On somebody.
I see it, but I don't care.
Right.
If they're hot, they're hot.
The fact that you said that is so like, that's
racist?
Weird. That's one of those talking points people put out. They're like, my kid doesn't see color because it's something we're taught. Like, it's kind of like saying, It makes no sense. Of course your kid sees color, but that's just, it's in the world. How can you not see it?
I totally agree with you.
You know,
when I just
people
don't agree
start
with people
saying
that see
things
it, just,
because
just,
it's like,
I just don't like when people
statement.
Prejudge people because of their color. Is that a better statement or is that also a really weird statement?
It's kind of weird.
How is that weird? Because people do that. I don't do that. You guys don't do that, but
people
do that.
But it's kind of weird to
said,
like, to
especially Democrats. They do that more than anybody. I know because I hang out with Democrats and Republicans.
Well, I don't think that's true that they do it more than Republicans.
Well, have you hung
out in the world? Have you?
I've been in political meetings for Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah,
I've
been in. How about this one?
Democratic Party.
I've been in the world living, and
that's nice.
I've seen people, Republicans, Democrats, judge people like on race. Like, that's just, it doesn't matter.
My personal experience in New York City, I've seen it both sides, yes, but I've noticed it more on the Democratic side. The Democratic Party points more to the race.
Maybe that's because your eyes aren't open, because these are the same exact people with blood beating through their veins. It's like saying black, you know, like, you cannot attribute like this.
I agree with him. Just saying, generally speaking, Republicans don't like to poke at the race issue to get votes as much as Democrats do. If you guys disagree with me, okay. But if you guys look at news stations, look at CNN and MSNBC, Republicans are racist.
But the Republicans say it's fake news.
I might actually.
Then I agree with you. It is fake news. Yeah, it is true. Yeah. So go to rain, Republicans.
You're asking me.
I mean, I don't necessarily think that's not true, actually, because I'm thinking about it. I don't necessarily think
Fox
that's
news?
Not true. I do. Yeah,
I watch both.
Yeah.
Every 5 seconds, I hear somebody saying something negative about, like, you know, racial politics. Trump's racist, this, that. I watch Tucker Carlson every night as well.
Yeah.
And
that's true. Like I remember like 10 years ago when people used to be like, Fox is the only fair and balanced thing. I'd be like,
no, they're conservative. I agree with you.
Yeah, but 10 years ago,
but
no one was saying that. And it was,
actually,
guess what? It was bullshit. Can I say that?
Oh, go ahead.
But guess what?
I say bullshit. I don't mind.
But that's what I'm saying. People, you're just spouting shit off.
No. Yeah. Actually, this is fact. After the...
Can I tell you something?
Fox News right now, it might be... It's right.
Okay. But wait, can I tell you something?
This is lovely, but we have to take a break.
But...
Are we done?
We're going to take a break and we'll be back.
We're not
right
done?
Back.
Ella, don't worry. No, we're not done. We stop.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Okay, I agree with you. We all make mistakes.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. This is...
Ding, ding, ding.
A show. This is like the Seinfeld show right now. We're still trying to figure out what it's about. What this show is about. Right? Because we have got a lot of statements being made. A lot of fact that is being read. But we don't know
but it's probably fake
how
news.
The fact is weaved into.
Yeah, because fake news. All of it's fake news.
Yeah, I mean,
let's get right back in there. Go ahead.
I have not mentioned any news organization, whether it be MSNBC or CNN. You keep mentioning Fox News as though it's real news.
I think they're both.
Guess what it's called? It's called newstainment. It's entertainment.
A lot of this, and you are
using it. Like, I would stay away from using pundits and newstainment people.
A lot of the facts that I have are not from Fox News or MSNBC or CNN. I got them from, I don't know,
Google.
Where am I supposed to get them from?
I don't know.
So what's credible? What's credible?
Not even Wiki.
But you know what's really funny?
You know, Pew studies? No. Google has Pew studies.
No, they but have it's funny because if I started bringing up Google, you'd be like, yeah, it's just fake news. You got
that.
Some crap.
I didn't say that. Go ahead. Bring up Google.
Okay. Just
go
because.
Ahead. I didn't bring up. You're the one that said
just because
I didn't
your
bring
voice
Fox
is loudest doesn't mean that we're
I didn't bring up Fox News. I didn't bring up MSNBC. I agree with you. I agree that they all have their, you know, they have their points that are fake and the points that are real. And they're entertainment channels.
Okay.
So I mean, why are you
I didn't bring
referencing
up
them?
I didn't
then.
Say that. None of the things that I researched. Mm-hmm. Nothing comes from Fox News.
So let's go back to where we started. That racism is not really a problem in America.
Yeah, that's from Larry Elder. Larry Elder's not from Fox News. He is an independent radio show host that's black.
But you
so what do you say you about that?
What? I agree with it. Because
you agree
research,
that there is
at,
no racism is not a problem in America.
There's racism individually, but I don't think that racism is a problem in America nowadays.
So
in the year 2016, I believe that if you work hard, you can become successful. This comes from the opinion of my ex-girlfriend, by the way. My ex-girlfriend told me this.
Does she work for Fox News?
She's black and she's liberal. I told you this before we came in, Larry.
Okay,
I'm kidding. But okay, the point is that, I'm joking, of course. But the point is that she told me, Mike, America's such a racist country, you can't trust white people. And she even told me this. She's like, you know, your friends, I told her that some of my friends don't have college degrees, whatever. And she was like, you know, it's just because America's so racist, it's so much easier for one of your friends that didn't graduate high school to get a job before you get it, even if it's corporate America. It doesn't matter how many languages you speak. It doesn't matter that you have a master's degree from a top university in China. She said that. I'm not saying you.
I have no idea what you just said, by the way.
No, she was making the point that a white person has certain advantages over an uneducated white person. With a GED or no high school degree, he'll get a corporate job, like in a private equity firm, over a black person that has a master's degree just because America is racist. Mm-hmm. That's the point she made. Mm-hmm. And that's when our relationship started going downhill.
I want to hear what's your point.
Well, I can tell you that I...
That racism, I don't think it's that big of a deal. That's my point.
Right. So you have everything that, as a black man, you have everything you want right now.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, yes. And I have white friends that are struggling right now that I live in Rhode Island. My home, you could say it's my home state. I was raised there, yes, even though I was born here, New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it from both places. But I have white friends that are struggling as well. They have college degrees. They can't find a job. I think I'm doing pretty well for a black person. My brother's doing, he's very successful. He runs a business. But the thing is also, we're Dominican American. We're first generation Americans. I understand that we have certain advantages, right? Our ancestors weren't slaves in this country. I understand. I don't agree with that 100%, but I understand that we're immigrants. Our parents have a different mentality than a typical African American family, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know, because a lot of Ghanaian Americans, as you mentioned, would say that Dominican Americans have mentalities closer to that of African Americans, if you're being really racist and elitist.
Well, I'm a businessman, and I was I've done business in the Dominican communities. All of them own businesses, most of them. So I don't see where the laziness or any of that comes.
No, but if you're using those like factors, like a lot of Ghanaian Americans would be like, "Well, all our kids go to like Harvard, and we're
all
smart."
Actually, that's true. Actually, a lot of Nigerian Americans and Ghanaian Americans they go
and
to Harvard.
And West Indian Americans, by the way.
Yeah, they do very well, and that's because they're first generation. I'm saying compared to African Americans that live in America, Ghanaian and Nigerian Americans do very well, and actually they do better. They're more successful in their careers than the typical Caucasian American.
And why do you think that is?
Why do you think that is?
First generation immigrant parents, when you have immigrant parents, especially from places like that, that don't have those opportunities. I know because my parents are Dominican. They instilled in me the ideals that, listen, you're in a country that's a gold mine. You work your ass off and you'll get somewhere. Versus a lot of African American families, like my ex-girlfriend, it doesn't matter how hard you work, the white man is in charge and he always has the advantage over you.
Well, I don't think that's the only reason. I'll tell you that. Well, first of all, if you come out of the educational systems.
Are you Ghanaian American, by the way?
No, I'm not. A lot of the educational systems, like in the West Indies or in Ghana or Nigeria, they have very good primary school education systems, right? Yeah. I think probably better than American systems K-12. American colleges are obviously, worldwide.
Superior, some of the best in the world.
But K-12. And I mean, it's funny because my husband said that when he went to Syracuse that he was sort of amazed at how much more advanced a lot of the West Indian students were in math.
Definitely.
Subjects,
Nigerians
right?
as well, Ghanaians.
Right. So I think it has to do with the educational system.
And Jamaicans in the UK do very well as well, by the way. I'm just putting that out. They do better than the average Caucasian.
Also, you're talking about people that come from just a completely different culture. These are black countries, right? Where Jamaica's a black country where you're seeing other black people succeed and the value of blackness. We have our own racial issues. I'm multi-ethnic, like all over the place. West Indian, Hispanic, like a couple different places.
You did say your grandmother's Hispanic,
But Afro-Latino. So it's a whole different culture.
I totally agree with you. So I don't think it's because of the race. I think it's because of mentality.
Yeah, but the way you've just said it, if I were listening to this conversation, and I am listening to this conversation, what I've heard is that
you're in this conversation, Noreen.
Yes, you have totally denigrated a whole race of African American people.
No, I didn't. I just said that they have a different mentality than us, and it is true. A lot of them have this mentality that they have.
That
my ex-girlfriend, that basically no matter how hard you work, this is a racist country. You're never going to, unless you play basketball, which a lot of people think this way. Unless you play basketball, you're really good at a sport, you're good at entertainment, you can't come out of poverty. And a lot of people do have the mentality. And one of the things that I'm trying to do personally is I want to destroy that mentality because I think it's wrong.
Right.
Yeah, I think that you need to check your mentality maybe check the way that you're speaking because it doesn't sound very progressive in terms of the way you're talking about African Americans.
So now
you're
using your girlfriend. I'm saying in general, I have a lot of black friends too.
To wash a whole
not
race
just
of people.
Her. I'm saying in general, I have a lot of black friends too, and a lot of black friends think the same way.
Well, I don't. I think that different kinds of slavery happened in the West Indies. People in Ghana didn't experience slavery. They experienced colonialism.
Did you know that
is slavery was abolished in Jamaica a good 200 years, right? Before slavery was abolished in the United States.
In the United States,
we had a long history of Jim Crow. So in my father's lifetime, he still couldn't go into the university.
But now there's affirmative action to make up for. There's so many programs to make up for that.
No, wait a second.
That's not longer an excuse.
Okay,
in the 1960s, when soldiers came back to the United States, there were programs where soldiers could get loans to buy homes.
White soldiers,
right? Yes, white soldiers. That was not afforded to African Americans. And home ownership is the strongest way in which wealth is built in this country.
And
up until the 1960s, African Americans were not afforded that right. So when you talk about the discrepancy within pretty much my lifetime, that has been an existence. Mm-hmm. That has not been an existence
and
in countries
like
Jamaica.
And the African American
So when you talk about facts, that is it. So when you talk about that, wait a second. So when you talk about that.
This is my show.
So when you talk about, excuse me, hello.
I grew up in Dominican Republic.
So wait.
Part of my childhood, I grew up in Dominican Republic. And there's racism down there.
Wait a second.
And you are riding on the backs of African Americans that have suffered gravely in
this country. I'm not saying they should get benefits.
No, wait a second, though. But you're talking all this.
You're talking down about them.
I'm talking about facts.
You're talking about things, right? But you're not talking about. You're not looking at the real. You're talking about countries.
You're looking at opinions and ideas.
I spent time in the Dominican Republic, which is one of the countries that you just said.
You made a fatal mistake. You were trying.
And those countries are racist.
You were trying to compare.
When Mexican color, just because I'm American, they would
look down on me. But you're not talking about world history in the correct way.
All races in the world have lived through slavery. The only one that complains is African Americans.
But wait a second. No other.
Oh my God, please.
Britain has slavery too.
Please.
Excuse me.
Britain has slavery as well.
It's a whole different kind of fish. This is the most ludicrous conversation I've ever had.
I'm sorry that all races have slavery.
No other country besides South Africa has had the same sort of Jim Crow laws as the United States.
Okay, Jim Crow or slavery? Okay, Jim Crow, I agree with you. South Africa and the US. But slavery has existed for every race and it has been as bad, equally bad for every race.
But we're talking about after that, Jim Crow, there were laws put in place where African Americans.
I agree with you.
So then talk about that.
But now there's affirmative action to counterbalance that.
We have,
and that was easier for African Americans to get into schools and get jobs than it is for white Caucasian Americans. That's
so
a fact.
This is
so we're going to end this conversation. And
thanks, Maureen, for having us, by the way. Sorry,
I just want to preface.
Okay, let me explain something to you.
What was they saying in those campaigns? This is not the opinions of Beyond Potential, Life Your Way. This is the opinion of all the station, or history. This is an opinion of one individual that still is growing, evolving, and discovering.
I'm the youngest
himself.
One here, that's why.
Growing young, youth. When you're youthful and you haven't lived yet, you can say many things, but speak to me in 40 years. When
you get to
45.
Actually, it's funny because younger people tend to be more liberal. Older, as they get older, they become more conservative. And
okay, so on that note, we're going to say thank you for listening to the show and good night. Bye-bye. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live Life Your Way. Thank you, Mike, for coming in and expressing yourself.
Thank you, Ella, for doing
the political piece. Talk to you guys soon. See you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.